Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4, and we're just going to deal with some things that I believe that addresses everything pretty much that we've heard tonight. We're going to focus our attention on something that your flesh hates, your flesh doesn't want to participate in, and I'm just simply looking at daily devotions. Daily devotions. And we come into chapter 4 of the book of Matthew, and God's been speaking to my heart about it, and I'm asking God to stir me. I was speaking to Brother Buster Mullins in the last 3 or 4 days on the phone, and he told me this, and he just mentioned it in passing, because he'd asked me a question about something that he was studying, and I thought, Lord, have mercy, what are you asking me? I mean, that man's a walking Bible. What are you asking me about any verse of Scripture? But anyway, we talked about that, and he said he came in from prayer meeting last Wednesday night because he's in search of the answer to what the question he had asked me. And he read the entire Gospel of Luke after he came home from church. 24 chapters. I thought, how many people hadn't read 24 chapters in the last 3 months? Your desire for God's Word, your attachment to God's Word, your dependence upon God's Word speaks volumes. I mean, he just said that and moved on, and he said, I read through the book of Luke because I was in search of this answer to that question, and read 24 chapters after he got home from church. Anybody that's ever been anybody, or everybody that's ever been anybody for the Lord, have been people that made a big deal out of this right here. Amen. And the devil wants you to not make a big deal out of this. He wants you to make a big deal, Brother Devin, out of your busy schedule. He wants you to make a big deal out of, Brother Aaron, how you feel about yourself. He wants me to make a big deal out of who don't like me or whatever. But when's the last time we got bothered over an unread Bible or an unobeyed command of Scripture? And so we're going to look at this. We can't improve on the example we're going to read on. Let's read the last verse of chapter 3. Actually, we referred to this just a few moments ago. Let's read verse 16 and 17 of chapter 3, and then we'll go straight in to chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 1 of chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Let me just pause right there for a moment. In light of what was said of Jesus in verse 17, that tells us of his identification of being a son of God, being the Son of God, tells us about his reputation. God said, he has pleased me, in whom I am well pleased. In light of that, there's no wonder chapter 4, verse 1 starts out how the devil focuses his attack on that one. Amen. The devil doesn't care. He won't bother you if you're not bothering him. Amen. Y'all just go ahead and be seated a minute. He won't bother you unless you're bothering him. Well, how do you bother him? It's when you advance spiritually to where God is pleased with your life. Amen. May God help us. If we're going to be like Christ, and here it tells us what Christ is, he's one that pleased God. God said he's my son, but he pleased me. He said I'm pleased with him. And if I'm going to be Christ-like, then I should make efforts to be pleasing to the Lord. And listen, we may not know everything there is to know, but I know this. We do know when we're making a choice, a move, an action that is displeasing to the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God will that lives in every believer will check you when you're wrong, when you're going wrong, when you're doing wrong. Amen. When you're crossed up with him, he's going to check you. You're going to know it. Amen. He's going to convict you, and you're going to know that you did something or headed in the direction of doing something that needs to be addressed. And so in light of that, when we're trying to be pleasing to God, is when the devil attacks. How many of us know here tonight in this Wednesday night service and those that would be viewing my live stream, I wonder how many of us know and have seen in our own personal life as Christians, when we take two steps forward or three steps forward spiritually, that we get hit, we get attacked, we get confronted, we have problems, everything falls apart. And the devil knows that. Why? Because he wants you to back up. He wants you to go away from that pleasing God status. Amen. But we should have the conviction and the commitment that even though there is conflict involved, we ought to say, you know what? I'm willing to put up with it if it's what's involved in me pleasing the Lord. Instead of I'm going forward and as a result I'm having all kinds of problems, so I'm backing off. You know what happens when you back off? The devil backs off because he's got you. He only bothers those that are bothering him. And so when Jesus had this testimony in verse 17, verse 1 of chapter 4, then was Jesus, now I want us to be careful to note right here, Jesus was not led into the wilderness by the devil. I want us to know here that Jesus, the Bible says, was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. What for? To be tempted of the devil. What about that? Amen. You know, the Holy Spirit might be behind some of our problems, to prove what we will do, to test us, amen? And if we get a chance to turn to Deuteronomy, we'll look at that a little bit later. But look at this. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. And we're seeing a classic passage of scripture that lets us see into the humanity of Christ. He wasn't just God the Son. He was the Son of God. He was not just God manifest in the flesh, but he was also 100% man. And he is dealing with the devil in this wilderness temptation strictly as a man. Not once do you find him responding to the devil from the side of his divinity, the side of him being God. He could have just snapped his finger. He could have spoke a word defeat and destruction would have come to the devil. But then that would have set a precedence, that would have set a standard for me that I couldn't do, because I don't have that supernatural power that I can speak to the stones and they be turned to bread. I don't have that ability. But all of us know that's read this passage, how did Jesus deal with the devil? It is written. Amen. I don't have the supernatural power to where I can just speak and things, you know, transform and things happen and the devil's defeated. But I tell you what, God says through Jesus here, we can use his word. Amen. When Jesus, listen, after the resurrection, Jesus went back to heaven. He was no more visibly present here. I don't have the body of Jesus, but I have the Bible of Jesus. The same book that he quoted, don't get too excited about that. The same verses that he quoted in Deuteronomy, I have in the book of Deuteronomy. The same book that Jesus Christ quoted from and used victoriously against the devil is the same book that you and I have. I believe all spiritual decline is a breakdown in your relationship to God's word. Amen. I don't believe the word of God is nearly as big to us as it is to God. What was it, Psalms, was it 138 or something? If I'd have known I was going to use that verse, I'd have looked it up. But he said he magnified the word above his own name. That shows the prominence that God has about his word. But I wonder, have we magnified the word above our own name? I wonder if it's that big a deal to us. Amen. Let's read on here. And the Bible said, verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Now keep that in mind. He's hungered in verse 2. Now the devil's attempting him in the area of his hunger and tempting him to just simply command the stones to be made bread. Verse 4. But he, that is Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now that verse is Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3. Verse number 5. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him upon a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Do you see that? Do you see right there in the middle of that verse that it is written? Y'all see that statement? It is written. That's not Jesus quoting that scripture. That's the devil quoting scripture to Jesus, but he leaves out what he don't want brought out. He only quotes, and that verse, those verses that he quotes or uses or parts of is Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. But he leaves out parts and pieces. The devil's the one that's behind all of the inaccurate versions of the Bible. He's the one that's behind leaving out. And nobody makes a big deal about that. They don't make no big deal about it. It don't matter what version you use, what translation you use. For the instance, the NIV. The non-inspired version is what that stands for. In my book, it does. It has 64,098 words less in it than the King James Bible. Now, you tell me how you can leave out 64,098 words. 64,000 words and not do damage to doctrine and truth. Amen. It's not about the these and the thous. It's not about that. It's about attack on the doctrines of deity and all of that. Amen. But anyway, I need to get off that. But I do want to make another comment. Don't have a thing to do with the message tonight, but God spoke to me when I read that verse just now. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. He was up on a pinnacle. All suggestions in your heart and mind for self affliction and self-harm is of the devil. Now, this is a whole other message. I'm not going to get on it tonight, but you'd be shocked how many people pleasure themselves with harm and digging holes out in their arm and cutting themselves. They self-mutilation, self-harm. I've just made a mess of my life, so I am going to hurt myself as somewhat of a payment. Listen, that's cast thyself down. All thoughts of suicide comes from the devil. All of it. Self-harm, cutting yourself, amen, is not of God. Not of God. Now, why did I say, brought that out, I don't know. Somebody watching, somebody here, I don't know what goes on in people's lives, but I wanted to comment on that. I felt a nudge when we read it. Verse 7. And Jesus saith unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That is Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Again, verse 8, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down, here's his ultimate goal, and worship me. The devotion that belongs to God, he wants you to turn that in his direction. The attention, the affection that justly belongs to God, he wants you to give that to yourself or to him, the devil. Now watch this. Verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Now, how many of us know tonight that when he said those three times, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 10, it is written, he is referring to the recorded, written, printed word of God. Is that not right? Is that not easy to see? Is that not clear? It is written. That means exactly what it says. It is written. Thank God, are you glad tonight we have a written copy of the Word of God? Praise the Lord. Amen. And so verse 10, he said, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, let me just mention this quickly. Why did Jesus quote three times from the same book of the Bible? You ever thought about it? Never really stuck out to me. Never really put a lot of thought into it until God began to deal with me about what I'm supposed to preach tonight. Why did Jesus Christ quote from the same book all three cases? The book of Deuteronomy. This is why. It was the book that he was meditating on. It was the book that his focus was on. If I could put it in the message tonight, it was the book of his devotions. Jesus used his devotions, wow, to defeat the devil. There's very few things in your life the devil's going to attack you on and try to stop you in more than your time spent with God and with his word. How many of us know that? The devil doesn't care if you go to church every single service and have perfect attendance. As long as you don't get serious about staying with God's word, the truth of God's word. Listen, if I get away from truth, then I can give myself to untruth. I can give myself to imaginations, and I, as I preach Sunday, to supposing. Things that I think is right, things that I even may feel is right, but that is not substantiated with truth or facts. But Brother Craddock, we're looking at tonight, I'm not planning on getting done with this tonight. I'm just planning hopefully to whet our appetite on how important it is for us to have daily, personal, consistent devotions. Because the devil's attack on Jesus was to tempt him. And that word tempt there, when the Bible says that that the devil tempts, he does it to break you down. He tempts you to bring the worst out of you. But now when God tests you, it is not to bring out the worst, it's to bring out the best in you. We know James' epistles makes it clear that God tempts no man. God does not tempt a man to sin, but rather a man's tempted when he is enticed and drawn away by his own lust. When the devil is tempting you, he's trying to bring out the worst in you. And I believe a good example of that just come to mind was the tree in the garden. Out of all the trees that Adam and Eve had permission and right and liberty to eat of, there was one in there. There was one in the midst of the garden that they were told not to eat of it. But that was the very thing the devil would use to tempt Eve with. You wouldn't think there would even be a temptation there. You'd have thought Eve would have said, devil, man, you are crazy. Why would I be interested in that one when I can eat of all of this? But the devil knows that that's the way we are. Amen. He just knows that when we are told, don't do that, don't touch that, you can't have that, there's something about you, that old depraved nature, that'll want to just cross the fence. And because the devil's trying to get the worst out of you. God allows tests to come. God wouldn't put that tree in the Garden of Eden, but he didn't put it in there to tempt them to do wrong, but rather to test them to prove that they were right. And they passed that test day after day after day after day. They passed that test. They walked by it and they kept a going. And amen. But the devil don't give up easy. Now, by the way, you think this. If the devil attacked the very Son of God, and Jesus, the Son of God, used, Brother Devin, his devotional book and study and meditation to defeat the devil, how much more should you and I? Jesus is... Now, we all know that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, and he could have whipped the devil easily. He could have... We've already covered that. But I'm no match. We all would agree Jesus was more than a match for the devil. In fact, God was already cast him out of heaven. Amen. So God, I mean, there's just no chance there of the devil winning. Amen. What about that? But I'm no match, so the devil desires to attack me. And we know that Jesus could have defeated the devil without the word, because he was more than a match for the devil. But I'm no match. Every one of us ought to say that tonight. I am no match in myself to the devil. I'm no match. But thank God, God in our text gives us an equalizer. Hey, man, my daddy, he told me when me and Ricky started growing up and getting bigger. And daddy always told us, he said, look, I'll tell you right now, I don't care what I have to use. He said, you'll never whip me. He said, if I have to get a 2x4, if I have to get a broom handle, if I have to get whatever I have to do. In other words, daddy said, I'll look around, I'll find an equalizer. You may be stronger than me. You may be bigger than us and me. And you and Ricky may team up together, which we had one of those little cahoots at one time. Me and Ricky had it. I might as well tell it. Me and Ricky, just a little bit of me and Ricky had it playing, we're going to whip daddy. I'm going to tell you right now, we must have ate a bunch of Wheaties that morning. We had it playing. The supper table, we done had it playing how we're going to do it. And we're going to whip daddy. Lord, help daddy to kill us. And I'm the puny one. Ricky's bigger than me. I'm 4 years younger. And so, anyway, we had it planned at the supper table. Ricky's going to stand up, and then I'm going to stand up, and then it's going to be on. Well, Ricky stood up, and before I could move, Daddy done stood up. And I had a great portion of wisdom to come really quick. I stayed seated. So Ricky's looking over at his comrade, and I don't know if I uttered the words, I'll pray for you or something like that, but that might have been on my mind. And Buddy Daddy said, I'll tell you right now, you're never going to whip me. You may could whip me, but there's always going to be something I can get my hands on, and it's going to equalize and more than equal. But anyway, I'm no match. I'm no match. You're no match for the devil. Listen, his weakest anemic demon could twist us in knots and destroy our life. But Miss Caden, I'm glad that in your hand and my hand and up on that pulpit in our lap this evening is God's word, Sister Donna, and that is an equalizer. Amen. Jesus didn't whip the devil with his muscles. He didn't whip the devil, amen, with a 2x4. He whipped the devil, thank God, by quoting the scriptures that came out of his devotions. Amen, 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 amen. It's not me that the devil's afraid of. Right there's what the devil's afraid of. Amen. You know why? It's an equalizer. Amen. Boy, ain't that good? Amen. I mean, me personally, I wouldn't be afraid of Brother Ben. I'll just use you. I wouldn't be afraid of Brother Ben unless he had something in his hands that would do harm and disfigurement to my face, you know. Amen. In other words, listen, it's not you. It's this book in you that more than equalizes you to the powers of hell. Lord, if we could get a hold of that tonight, wouldn't we be walking in victory? Lord, have mercy. Watch this. I don't have time to deal with all this, I want to give you this. And I just wrote this down, as simple as it can be. When there is an absence of devotion, here's some things that will be in your life, the effects of it. When you go into church and it's dead, it's 4:00, count on it. It's a breakdown of devotions. When you see people getting quiet and cold and distant from the Lord, count on it. It's a devotional issue, not a circumstantial issue. Amen. Now watch this. When there's an absence of devotions, it has a deadening effect. You say, where do you get that? I'm glad you asked. Look in verse 4. Are you there? Look at verse 4. And he answered and said, it is written. Here comes the deadening, the absence of devotion. Man shall not live. We'll stop right there. Jesus said, what I'm dealing with here is a matter of life and death. He said, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So if you take that away, guess what you have? You have a deadening effect left. Now, listen. I know we want to blame circumstances and we want to blame people, and we're all good at that. And I'm probably, if you looked it up in the dictionary, probably have my picture. But I'm going to tell you, in light of this verse, man shall not live, and it didn't put a parenthesis in there, Sister June, man shall not live by agreeable circumstances, unless circumstances are agreeable. Unless everybody loves you. No, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Just as if you took away the physical food, that physical man will eventually die. Because man cannot live without it. Would we not all agree with that? Of course we agree with that. Because we've made efforts today to make sure that we don't die, meaning we've ate. Anybody eat here today? I'm going to step out on a limb right here. How many's eat here today? Raise your hand. You got to be kidding me. 100% Justice is looking around. Did I eat? I promised Justice ate. Didn't you, Justice? You ate probably several times. You know why? Because we know that that's an essential part of our makeup as being creatures of God. You don't eat, you're going to die, period. Don't try it. But you're not going to live. Jesus said it. You take away your physical food, you're going to die. And then he said, man shall not live by bread alone, that's physical food, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that's spiritual food. He said, if you take away the spiritual food away from you, you're going to die spiritually. And that's behind churches dying. That's behind preachers dying. I'm talking about spiritually dying. They're still alive physically, but they're dying spiritually. Listen, you take that book out of your life and the devil knows it, it's going to have a deadening effect. Good night. Have mercy. What happens when a person is dead? He said you can't live, that means you're going to die. Watch this right here. I just jotted this down. Now, sample now. A dead person can't live. How many people in church have life, but they're not living? Amen. If you die, you can't live. You can't live the church victorious Christian life. A dead person can't live. A dead person can't hear. You become deaf and you don't hear the voice of God, and preaching is boring and Sunday school teaching is of no interest and reading the Bible is nothing more than reading a newspaper. Why? Because as this is eliminated from your life and you live your life without it, it brings about a you cannot live aspect. And when you don't live, that means you can't live, and that you can't hear and you can't speak and you can't see. Your vision is gone. I don't see what they're excited about. I don't see why everybody wants to go to church. You see what happens? A dead person don't think. A dead person don't think. A dead person can't work. A dead person can't feel. I didn't feel nothing on that song. I didn't feel nothing in the church service. First place you want to look is, how are you with this book? How are you with the God of this book? Amen. That's good preaching if I am doing. Dead person has no desires. Well, I don't have no desire to read. I don't have no desire to pray. I don't have no desire to go to church. I don't have no desire to witness. I don't have no desire. What happened to it? You had it once. What happened to it? Any fire, I don't care where it is, any fire that does not get fed will go out. Feed that fire, and it doesn't matter how dark it gets, how cold it gets. That fire will continue to burn as long as it has food to consume. So the first thing is, it has a deadening effect. You want to die spiritually? You want to die with your testimony to die, your effectiveness die, your influence die? Then get away from God's word. Leave it shut. Don't read it. Don't hide it in your heart. And guess what will happen? You'll become a mechanical Christian. You're operating, you're existing, but you're not living. Number two, I got to hurry. My goodness. And I've already hit this one, so I won't have to spend much time on it. Actually, I've done hit several of these. It has a deadening effect when there's an absence of devotion. Because Jesus said you not live. Here's the second one. It has a defeating effect when there is an absence of devotions. Listen. You say, preacher, where do you get that? Well, in this text, there's a showdown. There's a showdown between Jesus and the devil. Is that not always the showdown? Isn't that always the two sides? Is that not always the button heads? Is that not it? Here's what he's saying to us. Watch this right here. As far as having a defeating effect. And I already mentioned this, that Jesus used his devotions out of Deuteronomy to defeat the devil. Now listen now, he didn't defeat the devil because he had this in his hand. It didn't say anything about Jesus reading it. He didn't say, now listen up, devil, here's what the Bible said. And there's nothing wrong with that if you don't have it in your heart and have it memorized. There's nothing wrong with reading it. Just make sure that it comes out of you into the atmosphere of where the devils were. Are y'all listening? But you can have this book right here. It is God's word. It has got potential. Brother Devin, it's got power. And the devil can't handle it. But if you leave it closed, and all it is just something in your hand, something in the car seat, something that's left in the back of the pew, something that's left closed day after day at your house, guess what is soon to happen? Oh yeah, there'll be a defeat. But it won't be the devil. It'll be you. Because here's what God showed me today, actually. Since it's a showdown, both sides can't win. Devil and Jesus both can't win. One's going to be defeated. Think about that. If you're defeated, oh Lord, help me. Listen now. If you're defeated, that means the devil is not. Miss June, can you say wow right there? Boy, that got big to me, I'm telling you, today. If I'm living a defeated life, it's a devotional issue. Because the devil and me both can't have victory. If he's got victory, Miss Susan, that means I'm defeated. If I've got victory, that means he's defeated. But what is the deciding factor? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Amen. It has in the absence, listen, the absence of devotion, there is a defeating effect that we have. Your devotions should be used to defeat the devil. Amen. Thirdly, quickly, and I got to hurry. Got good liberty to preach tonight. Thirdly, there is a defiling effect when there's an absence. When there's an absence of devotions, there's a defiling effect. And that's when I use that, and I already commented on it about the tempting. The devil was tempting Jesus. He was trying to get him to do wrong. Wasn't he? And the fact, oh, watch this. This is good right here. The fact that Jesus quoted the Bible to him, quoted the scripture, had it in his heart. Amen. The Bible in your hand won't help you. It's got to be in your heart. Even if you read it, it's got to be coming from your heart. It's got that you have to have faith in what you're reading, that it is God's word and the devil hates it, and it's going to do a defeating blow to the devil. But watch this right here. Oh, my goodness. May the Lord help us with this. He's helping me with it. I'm telling you, he's helping me with it. But Jesus is showing right here, the devil desires for you to do wrong. Well, what is, oh yes, come on now. Brother McWilliams, what is it that determines wrong? Oh, well, the world. No. Because to the world, whatever's right is wrong, and whatever's wrong is right to the world. So you can't allow them to determine what's right or wrong. Here's what's behind this. When the devil worked against Jesus in tempting him, trying to get him to do wrong, meaning he's trying to get him to go against the Bible, go against the God of the Bible. That's the devil's plot. That's the devil's plan. When there's an absence of devotion, there will be a defiling effect. Number four. And this is the last one I'm going to deal with. Number four, we find in these verses that when there is an absence of devotion, there will be a dissatisfaction effect. All right, here it is. You ready? Here's where I get that. What was it that Jesus likens devotion to in verse 4? Bread, food, eating. When you're hungry, eating. Now, when you're hungry, you are dissatisfied, right? Come on now. But when you have eaten, that hunger has been satisfied. So Jesus is showing us here, and I'm trying to explain it where we can get it now. Jesus is showing us in this passage, just as a natural physical man eats, and that hunger is satisfied. In fact, I like it so much that I try to make sure it's satisfied about at least 3 or 4 times a day. How about it? And sometimes even I'm not even really hungry. I just want to make sure I'm not going to get hungry, and I'll eat a pack of crackers or something. We're on the same page, ain't we, Ryan? That's right. So we're on the same page there, amen? But he's clearly showing the parallel between the physical man living off of bread and then the spiritual man living off of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Just as the hunger of the physical man is satisfied with eating, amen. That's why I like chicken so good. It's satisfied. Come on, get a witness right there. In fact, a lot of things satisfy that hunger that's not good for me. Peanut butter pie. Son, I love it. Huh? You like peanut? I love it. I'm telling you, I don't know. I mean, I just love it. I just get it all over my face. And then look in the empty pan of what used to be. But it's satisfied. Golden Dairy ice cream? Oh, yeah, it's always God's will. It's not good for you. I understand that. But I claim 1 John 1:9 anyway. It just fills in the cracks. I just like to get a little small cone of ice cream at Golden Dairy. How many's got a witness right there? There'll probably be some of that at the marriage supper. There won't be no ice cream at the judgment seat. But this book, when I feed on it, satisfies me. When I feed on it, that hunger. Where's the hunger at in church today? Where's the spiritual hunger at? When the man of God gets up to preach, or when your Sunday school teacher gets up to teach, where is that spiritual hunger at? That says, feed me. Feed me. We've all seen birds' nests, robins, or whatever outside our house, you know, and when they got babies, you can go around and just shake the bush, and the whole nest will, and they'll throw that mouth wide open. You know what that's saying? Feed me. Hey, feed me. And then when the mama brings a worm, they all fighting over. You don't eat, you don't develop, you don't grow, you don't live, you don't, listen. That's why there's such a battle of the devil taking this out. And we're gonna look at this one a little bit long, maybe more intently in another study about the diet of our devotion. It's hinted here, it's seen here, it's evident here. But I want to, not tonight, so don't pass out. But in the future, whenever the Lord leads, I want us to go back, because he's quoting Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. I want to go back to Deuteronomy 8 and see what it was that was feeding him and stirring him, and what was he talking about? What was that bread talking about? And we'll go back and look at that. But I felt like the Lord just wanted us tonight to deal with just the absence, when it's out of our life, when I don't have it, and when I'm not consistent with it, and when I'm not faithful with it, what happens? It has a deadening effect. What was the second one? It has a deadening effect. Man shall not live. What was the second one? Huh? Has a defeating effect. Either me or the devil is going to be defeated. If I'm defeated, he's not. Vice versa. The third one was what? Has a defiling effect. That's when temptations can be successful in your life, is when this is out of your life. And then the last one was dissatisfaction. Amen. Let's all stand our feet. I tell you what let's do. Because this is something that God put in my heart about all of us to need to deal with. And we all do. You may not have a problem with it tonight. You may be right at just where you need to be with it. But listen, the devil's not going to just roll over and say, well, I'm leaving that one alone. They've really got their devotions together, and I'm not going to bother them anymore. You can believe that is never going to be the case. And if I were to ask the question tonight, how many of you have been more spiritual in the past than you are tonight? There would probably be several hands raised. You know what that's a testimony of? Just what I'm saying. The devil don't care how spiritual you used to be. He just wants to make sure that you're never there again. He wants to make sure that whatever level you're on is less and less and less and less of what it used to be. Amen. I can't imagine, Brother Fultz, you going to the far country as revealed in Luke 15. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine me not going to church. Can you imagine Preacher Rackley not preaching? Can you even imagine Preacher Rackley with moppy head? Going around, you know, things in my pocket and hands but you know that is still a potential. Take devotions out of my life, devotions to the book and the God of that book, and I'm subject to do anything anybody else has ever done. You know what happens? When devotions is out, the book is out, praying is out, fellowshipping with God is out of my life, then it allows my spiritual life to become weaker, just like not eating. You don't eat, you get weaker and weaker and weaker and more easily defeated and more vulnerable and lifeless and all of that. Your strength leaves. So it is with the spiritual. You take that out. You take that away, and that's the same. Has the same effects in your life. It has a depleting. You can add that. It has a depleting effect. It depletes your energy. It depletes your desires and your want to. Amen. And the devil, he's working overtime to put a wedge, drive a wedge between you and that book and prayer and your devotion time and spending time with God. It's not easy. I promise you, I can testify, it is not easy. It's worth it, but it's not easy. The flesh hates it. The flesh doesn't care a bit, Brother Fultz, to sit down and watch a four-hour ball game, if there was such a thing. It doesn't care a bit. But to sit down and read God's Word for 20 or 30 minutes, I mean, it's like pulling teeth. It's like, oh, good night, I can't believe. And you read it one chapter and you think, unto God, I just done a great thing. Our flesh hates it. You know why? Because it's the only thing, Miss Caden, that keeps our flesh in check. Because it keeps feeding my spiritual man. And my spiritual man don't get weak. My spiritual man gets strong. When my spiritual man is strong, my flesh is weak. My flesh gets weaker and weaker. But then when I don't feed the spiritual man and I start feeding the fleshly man, I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about what you give your attention to, what you set your affection on, what your heart's desire is set on. Then that feeds your physical, your Adamic fallen nature. The next thing you know, you're dealing with a giant in your own life. And you don't have any spiritual strength to resist it and stand against it. Amen.